Today's scripture reading will be from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Again, that's Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
Good morning, and welcome to everyone. Glad to have everybody here today. It's been kind of a busy weekend for us. Lots going on. Yesterday, the final touches were being put on the installation of the projectors and things that we'll be so glad to use, and not have the cart, not have the beware of the blue eye sign down here and for everybody who's ever up here in front of that thing. And we just really appreciate, there's so many people who've been involved in that, and the butchers, David and Mike, and the Robert who works with them. And then, of course, Tim has been involved, and all day yesterday, Randy was down here working from morning till evening, and just really appreciate all of those. And then we also had our dog adoption going on out in the parking lot, which was really a lot of fun, and there were so many people here. Lots from the congregation who came down to help, and then just meeting folks from the neighborhood who came to take a look at the dogs and things. It was a good afternoon. Good to meet the neighbors, to have them in, and just a great day together. And then, of course, today with Mother's Day, we want to again say Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers who are present, and so glad that you're here. I think of those who are mothers maybe for the first time this year. It's just having new ones born into your family, and just thank God for those blessings. I'm glad to have my mom here. It's great to always, whenever she can be here on Mother's Day, that's special for me. And, you know, we have so many blessings to be thankful for. Some of us have just had wonderful mothers who really shaped us and helped us to grow up into Jesus Christ, and we give thanks for that. And in the church, one of the great things about being in the church, as we say, I think almost every Mother's Day, because I certainly think about this every Mother's Day, is that in the family that we have, we're all related to one another, so that we have mothers and grandmothers and fathers and brothers and sisters in the faith, so that each of us, regardless of our own family situation, finds ourselves in those roles within the family of God. And I think today of, I could name at least a half a dozen women that would be mothers in the faith, in a sense, to me, women through the years who have been blessings to me, who have counseled me, who have taught me things, and a couple in our own congregation today that I cherish so deeply because of their wisdom and their example. And we all have that. We all share that in the family of God. And that's what's so great about being in the kingdom, about being in the kingdom of heaven. It isn't just about me being all by myself. It's about being a part of something that's bigger, part of something that ties us all together. And if the only thing you know about church is coming on a Sunday morning, I just want to tell you, there's something so far beyond that in the nature of family and church and in the kingdom of heaven, that we're in this together, and it's about sharing life together. We've been studying in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, and spent some time in the Beatitudes. And as Jesus begins in that teaching, one of the things that's obvious about those who are in the kingdom is that we're to be different. The Beatitudes set it out. We're just completely different. We have a different starting point. We have different priorities. We just have a different way of life, a different character and nature because of who our King is and this reality that we've stepped into where God reigns, where God rules over us. But this coming into the kingdom isn't just about us as individuals. It isn't just about us as individuals. It is that new character, that new nature, poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who have their passions under control, who hunger for good things, for righteousness, for God. Those things are, in a sense, of course, very personal and a matter of our own maturing and our own life of faith. But when you come into the kingdom of heaven, it isn't just about yourself. It's about coming in to the kingdom of heaven and having a king whose name is Jesus, who calls us into that kingdom because he has a mission for us to carry out. And the simple truth that we find out in the Sermon on the Mount is that if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a follower of Jesus for the sake of the world, not just for yourself. It's not just about your life or mine or things going good or me being changed. When you stand behind Jesus and get in step with him as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have a mission to the world, and it is his mission that he defines so well. And he makes that clear in our text today in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So familiar. I mean, those are proverbial statements, even for people who don't believe, being the salt of the earth, the light of the world, but so challenging. And as we work our way through this text this morning, I'd like for you to just kind of keep in the back of your mind, or probably more in the front of your mind, three things. First of all, as we'll see in the text, salt and light are distinctive. What makes salt and light something special is that they are unlike anything else. They're quite unique, and we'll be using the word authentic. They are genuine. They're the real thing. The second truth that comes out of this is that for salt and light to be working as salt and light, they have to penetrate the environment in which they are found. Salt and light alone don't accomplish anything. Salt and light are meant to permeate. They're meant to spread. They're meant to do something, to interact, to make a difference in their environment. And Jesus is going to be talking about that as it relates to discipleship. The third thing is that though it's true individually that I must be the salt of the earth, that you personally must be the light of the world where you are, there's another element in this passage that we need to see as well. And that is that Jesus shifts in chapter 5, verse 11. We noticed this a couple of weeks ago. He shifts from third person they, them, those people over there, to second person plural, you. You will be persecuted. People will say this about you. And in chapter 5, verse 13, when Jesus begins to speak about you are the salt of the earth, it's not second person plural just because now Jesus is talking to more than one person, though that's true. It's second person plural because Jesus is speaking to them as a group. And he wants them to understand that there's something about their nature as a group, as a community of faith. It's a countercultural community that as the kingdom of heaven, together we have this effect and we have this purpose and we have this mission. Yes, it's true of our lives individually, and we need to apply it individually, but we also need to see this community aspect of it. Jesus wants us to understand that the community of the kingdom of heaven is on earth today, that it might impact the world according to God's will and in the carrying out of Jesus's mission. And so we begin with those familiar words once more. Chapter 5, verse 13 of Matthew, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. When we hear this text, I think one of the things we tend to do is like, okay, salt. How are disciples like salt? And we think about salt. Well, salt preserves. Have you heard this? Salt preserves. Salt makes people thirsty. Salt is flavorful. We have different kinds of things. Salt was used in Old Testament sacrifices. Those might be legitimate things to meditate upon or to think about, but Jesus doesn't go there, does he? Jesus doesn't make those points. Jesus makes only one point about salt, and that is this, that salt is unlike anything else, and that its only value is that it is unlike anything else. It is distinctive. You can't mistake it. You can't ignore it. And that's all that it, that's its only purpose for being is to be salt. And the point, of course, is discipleship is similar. Disciples are to be distinctive. We are to be different. And you consider the life that Jesus has talked about just in the preceding verses, Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. And what's the whole point? Disciples are coming at life from such a different vantage point. Their character, their nature is completely transformed because they've come into the kingdom of heaven. They're at odds with the world. They're persecuted by the world. They're different. There's something distinctive about them. There is nothing like salt. And there is nothing like a disciple of Jesus Christ a participant in the kingdom of heaven. Nothing can take its place. And the single point that Jesus makes here is that if salt loses its saltiness, what then? What's the value of salt if it doesn't taste salty? You go home, you're having your dinner today, you get something there on your plate that for you requires a little bit of salt. And so you get the salt shaker and you sprinkle it on your food and you eat it. But it doesn't taste seasoned at all. You can't taste the salt at all or the seasoning of it. And so you take the salt out and you sprinkle it in your hand and you taste it and there's absolutely no taste whatsoever. You just feel these little granules on your tongue. You're going to keep salting your food? You're going to throw it away. The only value of that stuff is it seasons. It has a singular purpose. And if it doesn't do that anymore, then what's the purpose of keeping it around? You just throw it out. It's just dirt. Just get rid of it. It's lost the very thing that is its essence, its essential nature. And it's the same thing Jesus is saying with a disciple, with a follower, with a participant in the kingdom of heaven. If we are not distinctive, if we're not different, if we are not different from everyone around us in the world, then what's the purpose? What's the use? What does it even mean then to be a disciple? Disciples are different. Jesus has told us in verses 3 through 12. There's just no similarity whatsoever. And if I'm no different than others around me in the world, what purpose do I have in the kingdom of heaven? If my life doesn't reflect the concerns of the kingdom, if my life doesn't reflect the characteristics and the nature and the love and the compassion and the outreach of the kingdom, then what good am I? What good am I? Jesus says, none. None whatsoever. That's what disciples are. That's what they are. If I'm not different from people at work, if I'm not different from the people at school, if I'm not salt when I go to work, if I'm not salt when I go to school, if the neighbors around me, if there's just nothing distinctive about my life from anybody else around me in my neighborhood, how can I be salt? That's the essence is being distinctive and authentic and different. And worse yet, what if I'm a difficult person? What if I'm impatient? What if I talk about people? What if I spread strife? What if I'm known by the people around me to be kind of a guy who holds a grudge and have an unforgiving spirit? Or maybe a bit self-centered or proud or not meek at all, but passions just completely on the surface and out of control. What if I'm not merciful? What if I don't care about people who are needy? What if I don't care about the poor? What if I don't reach out to people who are downtrodden? What if sin is a joke in my life and I don't really draw that many lines and I crave worldly things more than I ever crave the righteousness of God? What good is that? What good is that life to God? And in this context, even more importantly, Jesus would say, what good is that to the world? What good is that to the world? If you're the world, if you call yourself the kingdom of heaven, but you're just the world, how in the world can you influence people around you? How can you be salt? Am I salt to my friends? Am I that influencing, distinctive impact in their life, or do they sweep me away into the things that they're doing? Jesus draws some pretty hard lines here. And he introduces this ludicrous image of trying to salt something, of trying to make something salty that is itself to be the source of saltiness. How do you make it salty again? And Jesus there, he's just giving a powerful indictment against disciples who've lost their distinctiveness and have become useless as agents of God's mission. That's the important thing to keep in mind today. If my life is no different, if my life is not distinctive, if I am not poor in spirit and humble at heart and spiritually bankrupt and mourn over sin and my passions are under control and I'm a peacemaker and pure in heart and love mercy and care for those who are downtrodden, if my life does not embody those characteristics, Jesus is saying, you are useless to the mission of the kingdom of heaven. Like salt without taste. Strong words. Strong words. Unfortunately, we've probably seen their fulfillment. Maybe we've been the fulfillment at times. Often what limits the church in fulfilling its mission in the world is the church. or the Christians who make it up. Because many who claim to follow Christ, many who walk into church buildings on Sunday morning, are not really authentic discipleships and participants in kingdom life, whose lives are being changed and made distinctive. Oftentimes, we're just really not different. We're like everyone else as we go out during the week. That doesn't mean you're bad, or a person is evil, or they're just the most wicked person on the face of the earth. That's not what we're talking about. We're just saying they don't have the distinctive nature of being a disciple of Jesus Christ that stands apart because of their integrity and their love and their mercy. Or worse, it is an inconsistent lifestyle. Or worse, it's a Christian whose carnal appetites are very well known to their friends. And that kind of behavior just repels people from Christ. We know that. When Christians live in the world in a way that doesn't reflect the nature of Jesus, people look at that and say, why would I want to have anything to do with that? Why would I want to be a part of that? And people know. People can see what's real and what's a facade. We don't fool very many people that we're hanging out with away from the church building. They see. And people are looking for something authentic. There are people out in our world today who want something. They're looking for something. They know something's missing in their life, but they're wanting something real and powerful, something that changes people through and through. They're tired of the deceptions of the world. They're tired of the hypocrisy and the superficiality. They want to see a Christian. They want to see someone who's living in the kingdom of heaven, and that can draw them to Jesus Christ. So do people around me and around you recognize this difference in our lives? Because that's the difference that will empower the mission that we have to the world. And Jesus says, if not, thrown out. That's what Jesus says later in this book about unworthy disciples, or about people who don't accept him. Even someone who thinks they're coming into the kingdom, but their life's not distinctive, Jesus says they're going to be thrown out. There's a ring of judgment there, isn't it? They're going to be trampled. They're going to be judged. That's not the kingdom of heaven. That's not discipleship. That's not what it's all about. It's about being different. It's about being authentic, about being real in your faith. Not perfect. Not that any of us achieve perfection, but that people see that we have a different way of life. As Jesus put it in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. You are the light of the world. Back in chapter 4, as Jesus' ministry begins, as he's proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand, there's a quotation from the book of Isaiah that said, the people in darkness have seen a great light. And now Jesus says, yes, I've come to bring light to the world, but you are the light of the world. You in the kingdom, you who are coming in to this kingdom of heaven that's making its way on the face of this earth, you are the light. You join me in this plan of God. You have a role in bringing light to this world. And that's our role. That is our mission. You know, salt permeates its surroundings. It gets in there and does stuff. And light comes into darkness and dispels it. We're talking about here the mission of the kingdom of heaven. The mission of the church of Jesus Christ is to enter into the world, to be light to the world, to be salt to the earth. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And you see kind of the collective imagery there. The city. That's an image of Israel in the Old Testament, but Jesus uses it now about the kingdom of heaven. And he says, you folks, you people who follow me, you're a city set on a hill. I mean, you can see that thing for miles. Everybody sees that city. It's so obvious to everyone. It makes an impact. And Jesus is speaking here about this collective impact, not just my individual impact of being light where I go in the world, but our collective impact that we as the church, we in the kingdom of heaven, are the light of the world. This is our mission, and we can't be hidden. We have to, it's about standing out and being distinctive. This is why authenticity is so important. We are a city set on a hill. Whether you like it or not, that's the nature of the faith. That's the nature of the kingdom of heaven. And everybody sees you, and everybody sees us, if we're really living out there in the world. They see. And that's why it's so important for us to be real and authentic and faithful. And it's so sad when the church that's there on the hill is filled with discord or strife or whatever kind of behavior tears it down, and others look upon that and see that. By our very nature, Jesus doesn't say, try to be. He says, this is it. You are the light of the world. You're the city on the hill. It's there. That's the nature of the discipleship in the kingdom of heaven. That's just the way it's going to be. That's the mission. You put a lamp on a lampstand, not under a bowl. What's light for? To dispel darkness. That's why it's there. So you put it on the lampstand and enhance that purpose. The whole point here, Jesus says, in coming into this kingdom. Yes, we get ourselves right with God, obviously, but Jesus says there's a mission here. And the mission is to shine the light of Jesus Christ into this world. It's to be a beacon of what it looks like to be in the kingdom of heaven now. And you don't do that by being hidden or concealed. This is inherent in discipleship. A disciple who seeks to hide because of fear, because of temptation, or intimidation, or persecution, or just apathy, or peer pressure, or sin in their life. A disciple who pulls back from this mission of coming into the world for Christ, we've ceased to follow Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. If you follow Jesus, if I follow Jesus, we will be the light of the world. And if we are not the light of the world, if we're not reaching into the world with that bright light of the truth of Jesus Christ, then we've stopped being disciples. Discipleship isn't just some internal thing where I get my head straight. Discipleship is a way of life that's expressed in mission based on who I've become on the inside. It's the working out of all those truths and all the changes inwardly in this world. And so we don't hide out. A church that hides inside its four walls. A church that won't venture out. A church who's afraid of what it might find if it gets out there. A church that fails to be the light in its community is useless to God. That's why we're here, to be a city on a hill. That's the point. And if we're invisible, individually or corporately, if we're invisible in this world, we've denied our discipleship and we've rejected the mission of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus says in verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You see the two aspects of this. Authentic, real, genuine, just like Jesus, transformed from the inside out, and then engaged. Changed inwardly, but then engaged outwardly with the world so that we can be salt and that we can be light and bring the message of the kingdom to this world. That's what living under the rule of God means. Jesus says they'll see your good deeds. They'll see your way of life is different. You and I live out chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, people will see your life is different. We've talked about the implications of those inward characteristics for the last month or more, and your life is just going to be different. It's going to be expressed in outward conduct. And Jesus wants the world to see that his followers are different, that we're not like everyone else. Involved, engaged while being authentic. That's kingdom living. We are different, we are authentic, we are real, but then we are engaged, we're a part of, so that we can shine the light of the gospel. And it should be visible. And maybe we should think in small terms. Let's just start with small terms. Some of these characteristics can be seen in the way you treat. This may seem a little stretch, but think about it for a moment. The way you treat a clerk or a checker across the counter from you. the way you deal with the person in front of you who's like filling out papers for a second mortgage and buying a lottery ticket and a half gallon of milk, and you're in the line for an hour and a half. That's the one I've got the most trouble with. Like, this isn't a bank. Just get your milk and go home. And you know, I think of my, you know, my attitude. What kind of, you get up there, okay. You know, where the check, I say, oh, I'm so sorry. Well, why does she have to say that to me? Maybe because of that terrible scowl I had on my face. You know, maybe I kept looking at my watch. I mean, the kingdom of, am I meek? Am I humble? Am I under control? I mean, it can be seen in the smallest of ways. The way you treat a waitress at a restaurant, especially when you get bad service. The way you do your job, the way you treat your employees, the way you play a game, the way you drive a car in rush hour, the language that you use. All of these little things are an indication of what's going on inside. Are we different? Are we just like everybody else? Do we get angry just like everybody else? Do we lose our temper just like everybody else? The way you reach out to someone who's hurting. The way you visit somebody when they're in need and see if there's something you can do to help. The way that you care. The way that you have mercy. All of these things are ways that show the kingdom lifestyle. It's about purity and integrity and mercy and compassion. And people see that. And a Christian should be just as much a Christian at the church building as that person is in their home. In the way they treat their spouse or their children or their parents. They should be just as much a Christian here as we are when we go to work tomorrow morning or when we go to school or when we're playing out in the field, when we're playing a game, when we're out on the golf course. Something so important here. Jesus did not say, "You are the light of the church." He said, "You are the light of the world." The world. Get out there. Shine the light of the kingdom through your life, individually and as a church. Shine that. Be different. Be authentic. But then get out there and engage like salt and light. That's the point. That's why we get involved with people in our world. You can't be light unless you go into the darkness to dispel it. You've got to enter into that world. You know, years ago, a very common word kind of had a new use. And we started using the word more. It's the word embedded. You hear the word today, embedded. What comes to your mind? For me, it's like the embedded reporter. I mean, that word's been around for hundreds of years, to embed, but embedded, the embedded reporter. They're out there with the troops. They're there on the front lines, and then they report. They're embedded with the troops. They live with the troops. They stay there with the troops. They're just kind of, they're there. They're a part of it. They're distinct in a sense, but they're embedded with them. They share that life. I'd like for us to think about that word as it relates to the church and the world. It's, God has embedded the kingdom of heaven into this world. He hasn't pulled us out of it yet. Why are we here? He embeds us in the world so that we can have an effect, so that we can be right in the middle of things, so that we can have an impact on it and shine the light of the kingdom. It's like salt on meat or light in a dark room. The church has got to get out there and be a part of it and be that city. That's why we get involved with people's lives. That's why we do the things we do. How many of you here are today in the church, in the kingdom of heaven, because at one point in your life, when you weren't, someone in the kingdom of heaven made an impact on your life or did something for you or reached out to you or taught you? How many? Is that true for so many of us? And even those of us who were fortunate enough to be raised with parents that believe, we go back a generation, you'll see it. It's there. It's always there. That's the way it works. That's the way that the kingdom of heaven comes today, is that people reach out from that. That's why we have dog adoptions. Do we really need to adopt out dogs? Well, but what if some organizations come to you and say, you know, we really need some help in this community. Would you do this? Could you host? Could we just use a little corner of your parking lot? Maybe you'd like to get out there and tell people about the church. They even said that. That's why did we do that yesterday? Why were there so many people down here and putting in all that time and effort? Because our community came here and we got to talk to some of them. And they at least know that we exist, that we're here. I mean, you got to start somewhere with some people who don't even have that basic information down. That's why we do Vacation Bible School for a large part. That's why we do Brothers in Arms. That's why one of the reasons we do Wednesday night meals. That's why we do ESL on Monday night. That's why we do an evening with Jesus, or one of the reasons we do Ignite Camp in the summertime. Because, as has been said many times here, you've either got to bring the people to you, or you've got to go to where the people are. That's the mission of the church, to be salt and light. And to do that, there's got to be interaction. There's got to be a bringing together. And the world needs light. Does it not need light? The world is so dark. It doesn't need Christians who crawl into caves or hole up in their church buildings, never coming out because they're not sure what's out there. Nor does the world need a bunch of Christians who are so much like all of them that we don't have any light to shine either. You see, it's both. It's being real and authentic and genuine, but then engaging and involved and embedded. That's the nature of the kingdom of heaven. That's the mission that we have. And when that happens, people start to ask questions like, why do you live that way? Why are you helpful? Why are you being kind to me? How do you have that kind of peace when that's going on in your life? You showed such self-control in that situation. If the boss would have said that to me, I know I would have handled it very... How did you do that? What's going on in your life? Why are you the way that you are? How did you face this tragedy with such grace? How did you get through it? How could you forgive that person? I mean, that was a terrible thing that they did to you, and you forgave them. You honestly forgave them. Why do you care? Why do you get involved? How do you find the strength to live a righteous life when there's so much temptation? And I notice you, whenever the guys get together after work, you always stand your ground. You never get swept up into behavior that you find contrary to your life. How do you do that? How does that happen? Why do you bother with me? Why do you even care? Why don't you give up? What's in it for you? Why? To show how strange we are? To show how different we are? To stand out? To get a pat on the back? So that they will praise our Father in heaven. That's why. So that they will see that we're different. They'll see that we're genuine. And they will give honor and glory and praise to God who has called us into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus says. They'll see your good deeds, but you know what they'll do? They'll glorify and praise the Father who is in heaven. That's our mission. Our mission is to be salt and light in this world, to draw people to God, to draw people to King Jesus, so that they can praise Him, so that they can be reconciled to Him and understand who He is. The disciples' life leads others to recognize the presence of God's transforming power in the world. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, brothers and sisters. I know the kingdom of heaven is here, but for those who haven't come into it, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But they will never know it if they don't see it. If they don't see that kingdom in their life as they interact with you and me. That's how people will see the kingdom of heaven has come. And for their own life is at hand. We stand out in such bold contrast against that backdrop of the world if we're faithful to God's calling. To the point that Jesus said in verses 10 through 12, some people are going to see all these differences. You know what they're going to do? They're going to laugh at you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to persecute you. That's what some people do when they see something different. But now we're finding out in these verses that some folks are going to see that difference, and they're going to be drawn to the God who's made us different because they're looking for that. What happened when Jesus came? The true light. The true light that came into the world. What did some people do? They rejected Him. They crucified Him. But some people were drawn to Him because they saw the truth of who He was and what He came to bring the world. It's the same thing for disciples of Jesus Christ. And we hear that good news and we respond to it, and then we become conduits of it. We become agents of the kingdom of heaven. Salt and light. And people come to know and acknowledge God. That's how the mission is carried out. Is your life authentic? Is it real? Is your faith real? Do people see that you're different? That's a very easy question to answer, honestly. If we want to be honest with ourselves, we can answer that. We know whether or not people in different spheres of our life really understand that our lives are different. Are they? Is our congregational life, is the way that we treat one another, is the way that we love and care for one another, is that different from what goes on in the world? It's got to be authentic. It's got to be real. And there's a challenge there for us if we realize from our own life that's not happening, that there's a need for it to happen. But are you engaged? Are you engaged with the world? You know, you think of the monks who kind of just went off to the monasteries. I'm not here in judgment of the monks today by any means, but you know, you can go off and have your authentic little life in the four walls of a room, but there's no mission. There's no kingdom. There's no kingdom of heaven coming into the world. There's no salt. There's no light. We may be authentic, but then the question is, am I engaged? Am I involved personally and as part of the church? Am I reaching out to people and demonstrating that light so that people can see that the kingdom of God has come? I'd like for you to think about that as I do. Am I authentic? Am I engaged? Most likely, there's some improving that all of us can do in one, if not both of those areas. And to those among us this morning who perhaps have just glimpsed the kingdom of heaven on earth at this point, but perhaps you're ready now to follow Jesus Christ as Lord, you see what the kingdom of heaven is. You see what it's like to come under the rule of a new King Jesus. We urge you to. We urge you to confess him as Lord, as King, as Master. We plead with you to turn from any sin in your life that has gotten between you and God and has kept you away from the blessings in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God. And we urge you today to confess that faith and to be baptized into Christ, to be washed in the blood of Christ, forgiven, cleansed, made whole and new, to begin life in the kingdom. To today, bow your knee to King Jesus and give him your life and take on his mission. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but they put it on a lampstand so that it can give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And may we be faithful in carrying out that mission. Let's stand as we sing.